Excuse me. Good morning. I'm so glad to come back here to share God's word with you. And today's topic is rooted in God. Okay. As you all know, that the church theme of this year is rediscovering God's grace. So in the first half of the year, we explore the subtopic of identity lost through the book of Judges. And we learned that when the Israelites entered into the land of Canaan, they were greatly influenced by the Canaanite cultures and the religious practice there. And thereby, they lost their own identity. They forgot that they were God's chosen and holy people who only belonged to Him. And they worshipped Canaanite gods and did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the last words of the whole book of Judges says it all. It says, it is because in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. And that's why the Israelites were transformed or changed from a godly nation into a group of godless people. They acted like terrorists, killed and robbed people at will. So would the Israelites continue to live in such depravity? How could they rediscover their heavenly identity as God's chosen people? Now, the story of the Israelites in this book of Judges reminds us of today's believers. Would we be secularized to the extent that we may have lost our identity as God's people, just like the Israelites? If we fall into such a trap, how can we rediscover our godly identity as God's people and return to God? The book of Judges gives us a very strong sense of despair and hopelessness. But thank God, after the book of Judges, we have the book of Ruth. The biblical scholars put these two greatly different books together, probably to hint us that the book of Ruth may be the key to unlock or to clear up the hopelessness in the book of Judges. If we read the book of Ruth carefully, we may find that its characters in this book exhibited a very important life quality, which the Israelites in the book of Judges lacked, and that is being rooted in God. And this life quality not only enables those who are lost to rediscover their God-given identity, it also solidifies their life direction, keep them grounded and not deviated from God to pursue the worldly trends. So in this second half of the year, we will study the book of Ruth with this subtitle in mind, and that is Identity Find. Rooted in God. We have heard so much about this concept, but what exactly does it mean? What elements are included, and how can we achieve this? Let's learn together and explore this together this morning. The story of Ruth begins in the first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, the protagonist of this story emerged when Israel was in such darkness. And he was an Israelite named Elimelech, who lived in Bethlehem. Because of the great famine in Judah, he and his family moved to the land of Moab and stayed there for close to 20 years. And his two sons got married there with the Moabite women. But very unfortunately, Elimelech and his two sons died afterwards. And the family was then left with only Naomi, his wife, and two widowed young daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. In the society at that time, widows, without the support and protection of husbands, they were a vulnerable and most probably marginalized group. And verse 5 specified that Naomi was left without husband and sons. It hints that no heir was left in the family. And it also signifies that Naomi could not keep her husband Elimelech's inheritance. Although the situation was so gloomy and bleak, Naomi's compassion towards her daughters-in-laws prompted her to let them go, let them return to their parental home, and even to get remarried, hoping that they would have a better life, a good life in future. One of the daughters-in-law, Orpah, left, but Ruth vowed to stay with Naomi to take care of her. It was at this time that Naomi heard that the Lord had provided food for his people, so she decided to return to her native Bethlehem in Judah with Ruth and live there for the rest of her life. Now, this is the storyline in chapter 1. In what ways did Naomi and Ruth exhibit her rootedness in God in this chapter? Let's continue our exploration. To be rooted in God, the most fundamental element is to acknowledge God's sovereignty. And I would say acknowledging God's sovereignty is the cornerstone of being rooted in God. Without it, basically, it is impossible for us to be rooted in God, since there is no anchor point for us to affix to. I'm quite sure all of you here, or also those online, will acknowledge that our Jehovah God is the creator of heaven and earth. He created the universe with only his word. He commanded the parting of the Red Sea, and he brought down the wall of a city without effort. We will not question his authority and power. But simply knowing all this, or even accepting them as truth, does not necessarily equate that we acknowledge God's sovereignty. Acknowledging God's sovereignty requires to accept his sovereign power over us and over our lives. And that means we are to submit to God's will no matter what. So how did Naomi demonstrate this life quality, her acknowledgement of God's sovereignty over her? Let's turn to the scripture. When Naomi returned to Bethlehem, everyone was surprised. Naomi asked them not to call her Naomi because that word means sweet. She asked them to call her Mara, which means bitterness. Since the Lord, she thought, the Lord afflicted her with misfortunes because her family of four went away full in leaving Bethlehem, but now only she returned home, a very sad picture. But would you ask the question, why did God afflict the family with misfortunes? The Bible is quite silent on this regard, and we better not to guess. And in fact, it does not really matter what's the reason behind this. What matters more is how Naomi viewed her fate and how she responded to such a gloomy doom. Naomi was convinced that the upheaval of her family was not accidental, but was a curse from the Almighty God. Now, please put yourself in her shoes. After experiencing such heavy family tragedy, and you are convinced that all these misfortunes were disciplinary actions from God, how would you see God? How would you see God? Many people will question God, like question God's love, or may even turn away from God. But Naomi, though she was heartbroken, she was not angry against God, nor did she leave him. Instead, she chose to return back to God's holy land, Judah. And I would say, Naomi accepted all this in silent obedience because she acknowledged God's absolute sovereignty over her. When a person acknowledges God's sovereignty, he or she will truly believe that Jehovah God is the God Most High. Whatever happens in their life will be totally in his hands, whether it be blessing or curse. And more importantly, even if he or she does not really understand why God allows all these sufferings for them. He or she is convicted that God always gives his people the best, and that there must be God's will, good will behind all these sufferings. And when a person can acknowledge God's sovereignty over him or herself and surrender so totally to God's arrangement, nothing in life, including suffering, is able to shake his or her faith in God. And this is being rooted in God. And Naomi fully embodied the essence of this. And that's why she was able to accept all these misfortunes in silence. As believers, we are pleased to accept that God blesses his people. But we don't want to face the fact that our God may sometimes also bring curses to his people. When we experience any turmoil in life, we question God. We would ask God, why do you send me COVID? Or we will ask God, why do you take away my beloved ones? Or why does God place all these difficult family members around me to torture me? We tend to believe that the God that we trust only gives out blessings, but not wounds to his people. Because the Bible says he is a God who loves people. But brothers and sisters, if we believe in God only because we want to receive his blessings, then what is the difference between worshiping God versus worshiping the pagan gods? Because in the pagan worship, it is believed that the pagan gods will only bless their people and protect them from any calamities. Yes, it is true that we would have blessings from God, but it is not our primary reason to believe in God. And this is not the kind of faith that God wants us to have. He wants our faith in him to stem from his sacrificial love for us. For he, the ruler of heaven and earth, is willing to die for us on the cross, to save us from sins, and to give us the eternal life and also a new life. It is his great love for us that propels us to worship him at his feet, and we willingly follow him, disregarded whether we receive a blessing or a curse from him. Job said it best. He said, shall we accept good from God and not troubled? True faith in God is not based on how much blessings or curses we receive from him, but how much he loves and sacrifices for us. If we know God, we will recognize the love and blessings behind all this what we see as calamities. Just like a crying father who spent his only son because the only son skipped school. And the father aches at heart as he spent his son. And I think God, in the same way, lovingly disciplines us in the same manner. And therefore, when we face adversities and challenges, we must learn from the psalmist. And the psalmist said, I was silent, for you are the one who has done all this. This is to accept God's plans in silence with obedience. So we will not ask God anymore, why do you choose that person and not me? And we know that the obedience is not caused by fear, but because we trustingly surrender ourselves to God's will and believe that everything in his hand that we are experiencing now is God's blessing for us. Even discipline is a blessing in disguise. When we can trust God in this way and acknowledge his absolute sovereignty over us, we are rooted in God. And the second element is return in repentance. Naomi not only accepted the upheaval in her life, she went an extra mile and willingly returned to God in repentance. And verse 6 stated that Naomi chose to return to her native Bethlehem as she heard that God was providing food for his people in Judah. Now, please do not take Naomi's return lightly. It is the turning point of her misfortune in life. At the beginning of the story, her husband, Elimelech, led his whole family away from God's promised land and settled in the alien land of Moab because of famine. It resulted in a tragic ending with Naomi, was the only one left alive in the brief situation, in the sad situation without husband and sons. But however, at the end of the book, Naomi was holding a newborn baby in her arms. And this newborn baby was born to Ruth and Boaz. According to the law in the Old Testament, time regarding levirate marriage, this child could be adopted into the family of Elimelech and could become the heir to the family inheritance. And the baby also became the hope and joy of Naomi, because she was no longer alone in life. And besides, from the Bible genealogy, we know that this baby, named Obed, was the grandfather of the king, the great king, King David. And of course, we all know that the Messiah came from the house of David. The house of Elimelech initially was without any descendants, now had the great king of Israel born in his house. And Naomi's situation was also changed from disillusion, to a complete new or even glorious ending. All this hinged upon Naomi's choice to return home. Naomi's return not only refers her return from the land of Moab to Bethlehem, God's promised land, it also implies that Naomi was willing to turn back from her transgressions against God and choose to return to follow God. Return. It is a very important theme in the book of Ruth. It refers to returning to the original position. As believers, our first and original position is with God. And we begin with God and end in God. God created us. He chose us to be his people. And of course, we will return to him at end times. God is the source of our being. He is not only the source of our strength, but also our source of blessings. But when we do as we see fit and ignore God's will, actually we are separating ourselves from God. And it is like being alone in the wilderness, lost, scrambling, and searching for a way out. And return means reconnecting us with God, the source of our life, so that our withered spiritual energy within us can be re-energized. And we can then live with strength and direction and find our way out of the wilderness. And if we cannot reconnect with God, how can we be rooted in him? So let's reflect. Is there anything in our life, any occasions in our life right now, that is separating us from God, the source of our life? What is it that we need to do in order to return to him? What is preventing us from returning back to God? Now, to be honest, to return is not easy, because the very first step of return is to confess and repent for our sins before we can reconnect with God. Let's look at Naomi's return. Naomi's family left God's promised land to find a new life in the land of Moab, and she returned home alone and empty-handed. From the reaction of the people of Bethlehem, we can imagine how courageous Naomi had to be in order to admit that the decision her family made earlier was wrong and that God brought calamity upon them. Admission of guilt or wrongdoing is always difficult. Yet Naomi was brave enough, courageous enough to confess her mistakes to God and also to the others. How willing are we to face our mistakes or sins today? It is actually not easy for us to admit our sins to ourselves, never mind about having to eat the humble pie and admit them to others. Our sinful nature inflates our ego, making us unwilling to see and accept that we ourselves are wrong. As we don't want to lose face, so we stubbornly stand our ground, rather than admitting our wrongdoing by saying sorry. And also, if we have to say sorry, we may want to do it to God rather than to man, because we know that God will not look down upon us, but man sometimes does. They will laugh at us or even despise us. But brothers and sisters, is it really that important not to lose face? Is the humble pie that hard to swallow? Do we remember the scene when Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciples? Jesus, as teacher, was willing to let go his divine identity and humbly wash the feet of his disciples. Jesus' humble approach teaches that one's position and status are not that important. One's face is also not important. In the eyes of the Lord, the one who washes the feet of the others, the one who humbly says sorry and confesses one's mistake, is the one who is the greatest in the eyes of the Lord. And Jesus set the example, and we are to follow what he did. Therefore, when two persons argue, no matter whether it is husband and wife, or like parents and children, or even two friends, when two persons argue, be it one of them may be wrong, or perhaps there's no right or wrong in the matter that they are arguing. It's only a matter of different opinions or practice. For example, whether we should use chopsticks or spoons to eat rice. There's no right or wrong, right? So in those cases, the true winner in the argument is not determined by who is the loudest, or who has the greater authority, or even who is justified to refute the other party, but by who opens his mouth to say sorry first. Because that person is greatest in the eyes of the Lord, because he has manifested the spirit of the cross to humbly seek reconciliation. And the third essential element of being rooted in God is commitment to follow. And Ruth fully manifested this virtue. Ruth was a Moabite woman who married to the son and became a widow when young. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, showed compassion to her by letting her go. But Ruth said that she was going to accompany her back to Judah. And she said, Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. If we think more carefully, we will see that following Naomi back to Bethlehem may not be the best move for Ruth. For Naomi, returning back to Bethlehem was returning to her homeland. But for Ruth, Bethlehem was an alien place where she became a foreign resident. And coupled with the lack of male protection, the chance of being bullied was so high. And also, Ruth must also be fully aware that returning to Judah with Naomi may mean long suffering for her, as she had to take care of the elderly and the poor mother-in-law long term. It required Ruth to give up her own well-being and sacrifice her own happiness for the rest of her life. What she was going to face was likely a very sad ending for Naomi, but also for herself. And this shows that following God requires commitment with sacrifice. To commit oneself means that even when the situation is bad, is unfavorable or inconvenient, One will complete the task by giving up one's own rights and interests. For example, for the sake of serving God, the summer conference committee members gave up their personal time and energy to organize this big feast for all of us, even when their lives are already so full and busy. Or when we want to share the gospel with others, we are willing to live this comfortable life here in Vancouver and use our own money and our vacation time to go for short-term mission to remote areas. This is commitment with sacrifice. Commitment to follow God requires sacrifice. And this sacrifice is actually our sweet offering to God. Following without sacrifice is not following with commitment. It is like Cain in Genesis who offered sacrifice to God, but were not accepted because he was not offering the best to the divine. He just followed the rules, went by the book, and did what he was supposed to do or required to do. So when we say we are committed to follow God, what kind of follower are we? The one who will make the sweet offering of self-sacrifice to God, or like Cain, who does what is only required? How much are we willing to sacrifice for God? So in summary, to be rooted in God, we need to, first of all, acknowledge God's sovereignty, disregard whether we are going to receive blessings or curses, and then return in repentance to God so that we can be reconnected with our source of life. And the last is commitment to follow him, to make self-sacrifice to follow him. When we are rooted in God in such a way, we will be able to rediscover our heavenly identity, because we know that we are God's chosen and holy people. And this will prevent us from being secularized in pursuing the world. But maybe you will have this question in your heart right now. Is it too difficult to do all these actions? How can we be rooted in God in such a way? Let's look at Ruth. Why did Ruth follow Naomi so wholeheartedly? The reason lies in her saying in verse 16. This is so important, this statement. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Ruth actually declared that Naomi's God was her God, that she was willing to follow at all costs, even to forsake her own clan. Why did Ruth do that? It was because she was able to see God's power and goodness. When we can see something that we really want and so good we love to have it, we have this strong internal motivation for us to move on, to overcome all the hurdles to get what we want to. And therefore, seeing God's power and goodness made us long for him. And this is the motivation we need to have in order to be rooted in God. So we ask ourselves, do we see God as Ruth see him? This Jehovah God is the God we want, and he is the Lord we are willing to commit ourselves to follow. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for letting us to see Naomi's life and also Ruth's life. It is not easy for us to be rooted in you because we have all these challenges in life. But Lord, we ask for your guidance, for your spirit to be with us and guide us to move along, to be rooted in you, to be committed to follow you no matter what. And we know that you are guiding us to a path of righteousness, to a path that has all your blessings. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Okay.